loop with the word extreme exploding over and over in the midst of the image. The crowd suddenly started screaming and cheering. I snapped my attention forward, but I couldn't see what they were hollering at. Their attention was to my left. I realized the show had started, and the host had appeared, but for whatever reason, we couldn't see him or her yet. This was a different setup to Audette's show. I suspected we'd just magically appear when it was our turn. This went on for several minutes. The crowd started chanting something. It took me a moment to understand what they were saying. "Die, die, die," they seemed to be repeating. They were watching a video, I realized. Their attention focused on the main screen, which for me still showed the elephant graphic. They burst into screams of pleasure as whatever it was they were watching died. "Glurp, glurp," they screamed.
"Glurp, glurp!"
I spent a few moments examining the crowd, who continued to laugh and cheer. The audience's makeup was fairly similar to Audette's crowd, with a glaring difference that made my stomach sink. "Oh, fuck," I grumbled when I finally saw it. I focused on a group of humans sitting in the second row, hooting and screaming and laughing boisterously. There was a cruel air to their laughter. It was almost a tangible thing, like a black, malevolent cloud that embraced the presence of the entire audience. I was reminded of that day when my dad and his friends broke my slingshot. They'd been firing rocks at squirrels, laughing in a similar way. These humans in the second row were all male, and they were all about 12 or 13 years old. It seemed the entire audience consisted of young, pre- and early teen males. One of them was wearing a red shirt that said, "Glurp," on it.
"Glurp, glurp!"
the audience yelled.
"Glurp, glurp!"
"Do not," I said, talking quickly. "This crowd is going to be a lot different than the last one. They're all kids. I don't think they're the happy, cartoon-watching kind either."
"Carl, we've gone over this,"
Donut said.
"You sit there and look angry, and I do the talking, remember?"
To our left, the host suddenly appeared. There was no warning. He showed up in mid-sentence. A floating note appeared in front of me.
"On air soon. Be ready."
"No, you little cunts are gonna love today's surprise panelists. Your maestro had to bang some slimy mud skipper tail to pull this one off. But nothing is too good for maestro's piglets. Suck it! Suck it good, piglets!"
"Glurp, glurp!"
the audience screamed.
"Glurp, glurp!"
The host, the maestro, was an orc. A huge, muscular orc. He looked a lot like a tuskling, but it was clear this was a different type of the same species. The tusklings were dwarf versions of these guys. Tuskling's skin was bright pink, pig-like. The maestro's flesh was darker, covered in black, bristly hair. He reminded me of a wild boar. His left tusk was completely gold. He stood about 6.5 feet tall, built like a tank. A line of earrings circled his left ear. He wore a hot pink, silken shirt, buttoned halfway up, revealing a hairy, well-muscled chest covered in gold chains. I couldn't tell for certain, but I had the distinct impression he was only in his early 20s. I hated him instantly. To my right now sat two humans, two men about my age. Both of them were Asian. Their ragged, bewildered look pegged them as fellow crawlers. One of them noticed us and pointed, talking quickly to his companion. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but it seemed like they recognized us. I waved, and they waved back, both of them bowing rapidly. They turned and also waved at the empty chairs to their right. There was someone there, but we couldn't see who it was.
"So, we have 6 guests today. 2 stupid, lame guests, 2 VIP surprise guests, and then 2 more surprise guests for our VIPs. Our VIPs today are so hot, we are, for the very first time, coming to you live! That is how hard I am working for you. We'll start with the lame guests. Watch this shit, piglets!"
A screen appeared in front of us. It showed a party of 4 crawlers running from a group of 10 troglodyte bashers. The lizard monsters were armed with spiked clubs. The crawler group consisted of the 2 guys sitting next to us, a woman and a 3rd male. Only the male who wasn't here appeared to be armed. He held a long, odd sword with teeth on it like a saw. None of them wore any sort of armor. They turned the corner and stopped dead. I felt sick to my stomach, seeing what they faced. Just around the bend was a familiar sight. 5 grub pupa sat, blocking their retreat. The middle sack was in the midst of ripping open. A massive hornet burst forth and buzzed into the air. The only resemblance it bore to the brindle grub was the top half of its bug face. The monster consisted of a huge, hornet-like body with a pair of arms with grasping, clawed fingers. It looked at the 4 crawlers and spat. A glob of white goo shot out and hit the male with the sword. It splattered directly on the man's face. He screamed, falling to the ground, dropping the sword. The glob was like acid. It sizzled and crackled. His pain-filled screeches continued as the troglodyte stopped at the corner, boxing them all in. The other pupa started to pulsate and tear as 4 more hornets appeared. The woman reached down to pick up the sword. The world on the screen froze. At first, I thought they'd simply paused the scene, but then the 2 men disappeared. When they vanished, there was a puff of air, and the sword blew a foot away, clattering loudly. Everything else, including the mobs, remained frozen. The crowd burst into a mix of applause and jeers. The 2 men next to us were now visible to the audience.
"You know what time it is, piglets?"
the maestro shouted.
"Death wash! Death wash!"
the crowd screamed.
"Okay, so we got 2 crawlers here. Their full names are quite the snoutful. And does it really matter?"
Laughter followed.
"The fellow with the acne scars is Li Jun, and the bald fucker we'll just call Zhang. Say hello, meat."
It took the 2 men a moment to realize the maestro was talking to them.
"Hello," Li Jun said. "I don't understand what is happening."
"Okay, so let me catch you up since you're too stupid to figure it out. You're on Death Watch, a segment of my show. That means we just plucked you away from certain death. You're welcome. Before, your plight was hopeless. Now you have a chance to survive. But we'll get to that in a second."
The maestro waved up at the screen.
"You all have been hit with a time freeze spell, and it will run out just as this episode ends. We have a little game we'd like you to play to give you the opportunity to live past the next few seconds. Yeah?"
"Okay,"
Li Jun said, exchanging a look with his companion.
"What do we need to do?"
"Death wash! Death wash!"
the crowd chanted.
"We are going to show you a series of scenes, and you have to guess if the crawler survives or not. But before we begin, I want to know a little about you guys."
The maestro waved his hand. The stats of the 2 men appeared floating over both of them. Both were level 7. They each had a single bronze star over their heads. Both had a strength of 8. Meaning they'd received some sort of enhancement. Also of note was Zhang's constitution, which was at 15, making it 1 point higher than my own.
"Li Jun,"
the maestro said,
"did you know your 3 companions before the game started?"
The poor man seemed terrified and bewildered.
"Yes. Yes, sir. We all work together in a warehouse. All except my sister, Li Na."
"So, that doll up on the screen there, the one reaching for the sword, she's your sister?"
"Yes, sir."
The orc nodded thoughtfully.
"Would you do anything to save her?"
"Death watch! Death watch!"
the crowd screamed.
"What do you mean?"
the man asked. The maestro ignored him. He turned to Zhang.
"And you, Zhang. What do you think about Li Na?"
"What do I think about her? She's my best friend's sister. She's like my own sister."
"And what about your 4th companion? The guy who just got his face spooged on by that brindled Vespa. He's your friend too?"
"Yes,"
Zhang said after a moment. The bald man's eyes were fixed on the frozen scene.
"He's our manager."
"The big boss man, huh?"
the maestro said.
"So, If you were forced to choose between saving him and saving Li Na, you'd pick the girl, right?
Zhang just looked at the orc, refusing to answer.
That's okay, buddy. You might not have to choose. We're going to play a game. This is how it works. We're going to show you four scenes, and we want you to guess if the crawler is going to live or die through the encounter. If you guess correctly, you will receive a teleport point. When we're done, for every point you have, you can spend it to save yourselves or one of your companions. The recipient of each teleport point will be immediately transferred to the closest safe room. If you decide to throw a point at old Spoogeface, he will be healed, so don't worry about that. Ready? Good. Let's go.
The scene showed a woman running from a giant beaver thing holding a battle axe. Fuck this, I said, and I stood from my chair.
Carl, where are you going?
Donut asked. Come on, Donut. This is beyond the pale. Fuck this guy. The table was blocking my exit. I climbed up on it, feeling forward for where the real table ended. I reached it and hopped down, my legs piercing through the illusion. A moment later, the lights of the chamber snapped back on, and the hollow dispersed. Mex 55 emerged, floating down from her spot on the ceiling. But when she spoke, the voice was different. This was a gruff, male voice. Also an orc, if I had to guess.
Get back in your seat, crawler,
the voice said.
You're scheduled to be on screen after this segment. This show is being tunneled live. We do not have time for tantrums.
Go fuck yourself, I said.
Carl, you're going to get us in trouble.
You are ordered to sit,
the voice said.
We have paid the appearance fee, and you will participate in the program. If you refuse, we are authorized to drop you into this ocean, drowning you both.
Bullshit! You're not Borant, and you're not the Syndicate. There's no way they'd authorize that. We are not participating in this cruelty. Nothing happened for several moments. Donut jumped up to my shoulder.
You're gonna get us in trouble,
she said again, this time more quietly.
Crawler Carl, this is Administrator Mukta,
a new voice said.
You are required to take your seat, or there will be consequences.
I'll go on as many shows as you want, but we're not doing this one.
Carl, we will discuss this when you are done. If you do not participate, we will accelerate you. There are plenty of other crawlers to show on our program. This is not a bluff.
Deep breath, I thought. You will not break me. You will not fucking break me. Can that other guy hear me right now? I asked. A pause.
No, he cannot,
Mukta said. As long as I don't talk shit about you guys, will there be consequences for what I say? As long as I participate, I mean. Another pause, and this one was longer than before.
They have paid for your appearance. Nothing else.
All right. Tell them we won on the show. Now. Before this Death Watch segment ends. Without waiting for an answer, I returned to my seat. The table once again pushed itself out, and the hollow resumed.
Carl, what are you doing?
Donut asked as she settled back in place. I'm the one who talks this time, I said. The studio reformed. The crowd was screaming and laughing. On the screen, a dead man convulsed on the ground as a group of baby-faced winged fairies splashed about in his corpse like it was a kiddie pool.
Sorry, it looks like you got that one wrong, too. You have 2 teleport points,
the maestro said.
I need a decision.
Neither of the men said anything. The maestro leaned forward in his ornate chair. He smiled wickedly.
I need a decision, or nobody gets saved.
Then nobody gets saved, Li Jun said.
He looked at Zhang. We die together.
Oh, isn't that fucking sweet?
The maestro said.
Very well, if that's what you want. Piglets, should we give them what they want?
Death Watch! Death Watch!
No, wait,
Zhang said.
Save Li Jun and Li Na!
No,
Li Jun said. He reached out and put his hand on his friend's shoulder.
We stand together.
A sour look passed across the maestro's face. He said something, but it was muted. He paused, then nodded. A moment passed, and the cruel smile reappeared on his face.
We're going to do something a little different, Piglets. Our VIP guests have been watching backstage, and it seems like they have something to say.
The crowd screamed its approval.
On air in 10 seconds.
The maestro was playing this off like this was his idea.
Okay, Piglets. My next two guests do not need any introduction. The last you probably saw of these two, they were stuck in a room with a bunch of old fucks. Are they going to escape? Spoiler alert, they just got out. We were going to show what these crazy assholes did to get free, but since they want to suck on it so bad, we're going to bring them on early.
Glurp, 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 glurp.
You are now on air.
The studio became brighter, and the crowd went berserk. Donut made a show of licking her paw, looking aloof.
Crawler Carl and Princess Donut,
the maestro said. He drew out the word princess, and it dripped with sarcasm.
Piglets, you probably don't know this. These two just broke a record for the most watched second floor battle in the history of Dungeon Crawler World. If it were me, I would have killed every last one of those geriatric sandbags and reaped the experience. But you know how it is with humans.
He looked down at Donut.
And cats, apparently. All that effort. And what did they get? No experience, no real loot.
He shrugged.
But you can't argue with the results. Carl and Donut, say hello to my piglets.
We want in on the game, I said, not bothering to greet the crowd. We want to play Death Watch too. The maestro laughed, an uncertain timbre to it.
That's not how it works, Carl. I knew you were a crazy mother.
They have 2 points. Let's use them to transfer me and Donut to that spot. I looked at the crowd. Wouldn't that be cool? The crowd roared.
Death Watch! Death Watch!
It took a moment for the large orc to recover.
People talk about how stupid you are, Carl. But I never realized you were this stupid. If you're feeling suicidal, then...
I leaned in, pointing my finger.
No! You listen to me, pork boy. If you're going to fuck with people like this, then at least make it fair. They played your game and they won 2 points. You said they can use those 2 points to transfer people away. I don't see why it can't be used to transfer people in either.
The crowd seemed to love this idea.
It doesn't work that way,
the maestro repeated.
You're not part of the game. It's against the rules.
Yeah, fuck the rules. I looked at the crowd. I think we should tell the rules to suck it. What do you think?
Glurp, 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 glurp.
The maestro did not like his audience glurping for someone else. I recognized that look on his face, a fulminating under-the-surface rage. I felt a deep satisfaction at that. I didn't know if this was a good idea or an incredibly dumb one, but I felt the urge to keep poking at him. The truth was, I didn't really want to be transferred to this battle, likely halfway across the world. I felt for these guys, and I wanted to help them. But if helping Brandon and crew taught me anything, it was that I needed to balance it out. There was a difference between giving aid and sacrificing yourself for people you didn't even know. Still, this felt like the right thing. I knew my argument was nonsensical. I also knew how this sort of crowd thought. This maestro guy was the worst kind of bully. A bully with an audience. I had to do something. For the moment, I didn't have a plan, other than pissing him off as much as I could. I looked over at the 2 empty chairs to the right of Zhang and Li Jun. A thought struck me. What had he said? 2 more surprise guests for our VIPs. So it was somebody we knew. I had a sudden, strong suspicion who it was. If I was right, then I knew I could push the maestro even further. He had a plan. A cruel plan, and going down this path was doing nothing but detracting from the narrative he was attempting to build. That meant the more I pushed, the more it would piss him off, and the more desperate he'd get to steer the conversation back on track. On television shows and in kids' books, they always repeated the Bullies will back down when stood up to mantra. That was utter horseshit. It always has been. That only worked when the one standing up to the bully was stronger than them. The maestro and I were not on equal footing, but my short confrontation in the production trailer taught me something important. I didn't need to be stronger than him. Donut and I were something better. We were expensive. I had a hunch that they'd spent a lot of money to get me and Donut on this show, maybe even overextended themselves. We were popular, and Donut had proven herself a reliable guest. The fact they were using a shitty rental trailer and didn't have their own suggested this production ran on the same sort of shoestring budget most YouTube shows had. The maestro, seething, said,
"You dumb shit! These guys were dead! I saved them! I'm giving them a second chance! Maybe I will transfer you into that fight. How would you like that? And we'll transfer the other four out, so you have no backup at all. Your ridiculous luck wouldn't save you then. I don't think you've fought a brindled Vespa yet. In a second, there'll be five of them in that hallway. You'll be utterly fucked."
I smiled. "You're too much of a pussy to do it. I dare you."
Death wash! Death wash!
The maestro looked so angry I thought he might actually cry. I suspected, and hoped, he couldn't do it. If I knew one thing about Borant, it was that they nickel and dimed everything. This Death Watch segment probably cost a lot of money, and that was with regular, low-view crawlers. There was no way they'd be able to send one of the game's highest-value streams into danger like that. When people became Red Zone angry, they were, in general, unpredictable. That wasn't true with bullies. I knew this from experience. It was the opposite with bullies. I knew exactly what was about to happen. I turned to Lee Jun and Zhang, who sat next to me, mouths agape. I quickly whispered,
"Grab your sister and the other guy and run toward the troglodytes and through them. Leave the sword. The lizards are really dumb and slow, and their attention is on the hornets. You'll only have a few seconds."
"But," Lee Jun said,
"you wanted to trade places."
The maestro growled,
"You don't tell me what to do on my own show, meat!"
He slammed down on a button on his table, and the two men to my right vanished. The words, "Death Watch Extreme," appeared on the giant display. The two men appeared back in the scene in the hallway, caught between the hornets and the troglodytes. For a moment, everything remained frozen except the two men. Zhang reacted first, shouting,
"Grab your sister!"
as he reached down to pick up the fallen third man. Just as he moved to pick him up, the scene unfroze. The sister stumbled as the sword she was grabbing for was suddenly several feet away. Lee Jun grasped her wrist and pointed.
"Run!"
he cried. The three of them scrambled directly at the crowd of troglodytes, who stood like turkeys, watching the hornets. The monsters, brindled Vespas, he'd called them, didn't care who their victims were. Multiple globs of white spit shot out, splashing into the lizards, who in turn raised their clubs and charged at the bugs. Both groups of monsters ignored the four humans, who managed to slip away and out into the hall. The scene ended with Zhang forcing a healing potion into the mouth of their companion before they slipped into a safe room. The video snapped off to a mix of jeers and scattered applause. The audience's reaction was subdued, as if they weren't sure how to respond. I looked up at the maestro, a huge smile on my face.
"Glurp on that, motherfucker,"
I said.
Chapter 43.
Let's now watch how our two guests escaped that safe room,
the maestro said after the audience's laughter died down. The stage went dark as the screen replayed our desperate escape from the rage elemental. It showed the scene from the point of view of the hallway, with the chopper bursting out of the room, screeching around the corner, Donut sitting high on the contraption. The audience roared their approval. Next to us, the maestro screamed and ranted at some unseen producer. It was all muted. The large orc seemed to be out of breath and enraged.
"Carl, you scare me when you get that angry,"
Donut whispered. I reached over and scratched her head. "I'm sorry. I'm not really as mad as I look. I'm just trying to make him angry."
"It worked. Now he hates us. I don't like people hating us. Our followers are going to go down."
Mm,
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about that. Look, Donut, the show isn't over yet. See those two chairs over there? I think it's...
Do you think it's Miss Beatrice?
Donut asked.
Maybe her and her boyfriend? Or maybe it's Miss Beatrice and Ferdinand?
No, Donut. It's not going to be B and whoever the hell...
Listen here, pukes!
The maestro said, interrupting. He smiled big, but his words held no mirth. He'd calmed himself, probably after getting some advice from his producer. The audience continued to watch the recap of our escape, oohing and aahing at the explosions. They couldn't hear this exchange.
This is my fucking show. You need to learn your place.
You were never a crawler, were you? I asked. He seemed genuinely offended by the question. He laughed with derision.
You savages are all the same. I come from a civilized system. My family has a long history with the dungeon. We were there when the Syndicate created the crawl. We are of gods and royalty.
He indicated the tiara on Donut's head.
If you pukes make it to the ninth floor, you'll learn all about what my family can do.
I looked at Donut's small, jeweled tiara, trying to remember the exact description. I hadn't thought about it for several days. The tooltip system didn't work here, but I recalled part of it. It's what gave her the ability to imbue the septic debuff. Because she'd put it on, she'd become a royal member of the Blood Sultanate. We could only get off the ninth floor if all other members of that family were killed, including the Sultan himself. I had no idea what any of that meant. I remembered what Mordecai had said.
That will be a challenge. You can always leave the party. That crown is on her head, not yours.
Your family? Wait, are you guys part of the Blood Sultanate? He laughed again.
Do I look like a fucking Naga to you?
He sat straighter.
My family's Skull Clan has been victorious 6 times out of the last 10 faction wars. Top 3 every time. The pitiful Blood Sultanate is almost always the first of the 9 to get eliminated. You idiots have been dead since the moment she put on that crown.
I tried to ignore the pit of dread that had formed in my gut. What about you? Are you going to be on the 9th floor? On the screen, Donut and I stood at the edge of the hole to the next floor down. The camera was positioned from the POV of the Rage Elemental. We looked tiny standing there, a trail of black smoke rising behind us. The entire crowd held its breath as the monstrosity charged.
I will be there. I was of age last season, but the stupid Squim conglomerate always plays Battle Royale, which doesn't have a Faction Wars or Celestial Ascendancy segment. But I will be there this year. I'm on my way to your stupid planet right now.
He pounded his chest like he was a gorilla.
Ah! I will be War Leader Maestro of the Skull Clan.
I nodded. It always astounded me how easy it was to get assholes to talk, as long as they were talking about themselves. So, if you're in the dungeon, what happens if you get hurt? Do you guys really die? He scoffed.
You think you could actually...
The crowd went absolutely apeshit as the scene ended and the lights snapped back on. Donut stood on her hind legs and raised her 2 front paws in the air.
That's how it's done! Next time we'll kill that thing ourselves and send pictures to his mama! We'll tell her to... What was it called?
Suck it!
Glurp, glurp! Glurp, glurp!
The audience cried. The maestro was back to his sneering, condescending self. His unseen producer was smart enough to explain that having a tantrum during a live program would make this spiral even further out of control. I sighed. Whatever happened next, it wasn't going to be pleasant. Might as well get it over with. The maestro waved for the crowd to quiet down. They eventually did.
So that's how you did it. You used the dungeon's rules to save yourselves.
I shrugged. That thing was level 93. We weren't gonna kill it. The maestro grinned.
Nobody, not even me, can say you don't have the balls of a Tauren. But a lot of my piglets seem to think you have had it too easy. Some say you've been stumbling your way through the dungeon, only surviving because you're the AI's pet. That happens from time to time. that the dungeon turns a crawler into its bitch?
He reached over and scratched at his hairy chest. His fingernails were disgusting. He continued,
I have two surprise guests for our VIPs. You have any guesses who they might be, meat?
I put my hand on Donut before she could say anything out loud. The last thing we needed right now was to give the maestro ammunition to mock her. Can they see us now? I asked, turning to look at the empty chairs.
They've been watching this whole time, and man, they do not like you.
It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who this was. Other than Brandon and crew, we'd only come across one other group of crawlers. I'd been thinking maybe it was Rory and Lorelei, the goblin shamankas. I didn't know if bringing mobs out of the dungeon was a thing. But I remembered that Zhang and Li Jun had waved at them, and I doubted they'd have reacted like that toward a pair of scary-looking goblins. Hi, Frank Q. Hi, Maggie Mai. I see you didn't find the present I left for you. That's too bad. The maestro smiled huge, and for a terrifying moment, I thought I had guessed incorrectly. Could it possibly be Beatrice? No, I decided. No fucking way.
Watch this, piglets. Let's see if they're right.
The video started, and I relaxed. It was a recap of Frank and Maggie's journey so far. I watched as the two-player killers stumbled into the dungeon. But curiously, they had someone else with them. A teenaged girl. It showed them coming into a tutorial guild. We watched as their guide, one of those floating brain mind horrors, sat the three of them down and told them the only way to survive was to kill other crawlers. The guide had a deep, rumbly voice, unlike anything I'd heard before. It was terrifying. The teenager wept as the guide explained what had to be done. Maggie clutched onto the girl, hugging her tightly. The scene switched to the girl on the ground, injured and crying. We hadn't seen what had happened. It looked as if she'd maybe been hit with a glob of bad llama lava. Frank was also injured, convulsing nearby as blood pooled around them. The woman, Maggie, sobbed as she went to her knees in front of the girl.
Mom, it hurts.
I know, baby,
Maggie said. She reached down, and to my utter astonishment, she wrapped her hands around the girl's throat. She choked her own daughter until she died. When it was done, Maggie leaned against the dungeon wall and wailed.
What the hell?
I asked, astounded. I turned to the empty chairs.
You didn't have to do that. She wasn't dead. She would have recovered.
The recap continued. We were being shown these scenes out of order. This was now something from before the daughter's death. We watched Frank and Maggie and the daughter come across a much larger group. This group included Rebecca W. and several other men. Frank and Maggie introduced themselves as a married couple, and the teenager was their daughter, Yvette. They waited until the others' backs were turned, and Frank and Maggie ambushed them. They pulled their guns and shot them all. Yvette cried for them to stop. Rebecca and another man fled, and Frank chased them. It showed the man running directly into some plant mob thing I've never seen before, and of Frank finally tracking Rebecca down, cornering her in the quadrant with the scatterer bugs. The screen split, showing Yvette screaming while Maggie tried to calm her. One of the other men they'd shot wasn't dead. Maggie put a gun in Yvette's hand, told her to shoot the man to get the experience. The girl refused. As I expected, Frank's entire backstory was complete made-up bullshit. I still didn't know if they were cops or not. I suspected they were. Either way, Rebecca W. hadn't been some sort of human trafficker. She'd been someone like me, afraid, and at the end, alone. She'd been betrayed and hunted down by a fellow human. I thought of the woman's naked, stripped bare body. I shook my head in disgust. The two had received multiple loot boxes from being player killers, including a ring that gave Maggie an area of effect stealth ability and a potion that imbued Frank with the ability to track down nearby crawlers. I noted that Maggie's stealth ability worked like my protective shell. It cast in a static, semicircle area. It didn't move with them. That was good to know. I watched as they hunted several other crawlers, most of them people wandering about on their own. Most of them appeared to have been homeless, some elderly. All of them were afraid. All of them had been so happy to see someone else before they were murdered. Yvette was in some of these scenes. She wasn't in others. The girl never participated in the killings.
The best part is coming up,
the maestro announced. The video, finally, showed a much-abridged version of Donut and me coming across Frank Q in the safe room and of them attacking us. Of them getting frozen. It showed me putting the dynamite in the rat corpse. But then, I saw something unexpected. My heart sank the moment I realized what was happening.
Mom?
Yvette asked, coming out of the bathroom. The girl stopped in horror upon seeing both of her parents frozen in the safe room.
Oh. Oh, no, I thought. She'd been there.
Yvette had been there the whole time. She'd been hiding with her mother under the stealth field. I see you didn't find the present I left for you.
Now I knew why the maestro had smiled so big when I said that.
I held my breath as the two murderers and their daughter approached the rat corpse. Maggie yelled at Frank not to loot it. He did it anyway. If I remembered correctly, we'd left 5 items in its inventory. A hunk of rat steak, a skin, a lit smoke bomb, a lit stick of dynamite, and an unlit, unstable stick. Frank only pulled out one item. The lit dynamite stick. He dropped it in surprise, and all three turned to run. A moment passed, and the dynamite went off. Shrapnel blasted the 3 crawlers. Yvette went down, and so did Frank. A hunk of dislodged rock sheared the man's hand right off. A llama hadn't given those horrible injuries to the teenaged girl. I had. The scene ended, the lights switched on, and Maggie and Frank emerged to our right. Donut hissed. The crowd's response was mixed. Half cheers, half insults and screams, as if they weren't sure whose side they were supposed to be on. I spent the moment observing the 2 crawlers. Frank was missing his right hand, but that wasn't all that had changed about him. The man had a hollowed-out 1,000-yard stare. He looked as if he'd aged 10 years in just a few days.
Do I look like that?
His missing hand wasn't a rounded, healed stump like one would expect. It was a straight cut, like he was a mannequin whose hand had been removed. The woman, Maggie, glared directly at me. I returned her stare.
You didn't have to kill her, I said when the audience finally silenced. Why did you do that? To get the experience? She would have healed. Your own daughter? Jesus fuck, lady.
You don't know,
she said to me, spitting the words.
You don't know anything. You didn't get the whole story.
She wasn't dead yet. She would have healed.
Fuck you,
Maggie said.
You don't know what we've had to do to survive.
Survive? Your daughter is dead. But it's okay, because you got credit for the kill. I'm sure she'd be so fucking proud.
Maggie leaped from her chair, pulling a black dagger that glowed with a purple halo. She lunged at me. I didn't flinch. Her jab passed harmlessly through my throat. The dagger dropped away as Maggie cried out in pain, clutching her hand. She'd likely just stabbed the invisible wall of their production trailer.
Children, children,
the maestro said, plainly enjoying this. It was back on familiar ground.
Clearly you guys have a beef with one another.
Frank whispered something to Maggie, who returned to her chair. He tried to put an arm on her shoulder. She pushed him away. As far as I'm concerned, any business I've had with these two has already been transacted, I said. I turned toward Frank and met the man's eyes. The man had changed significantly since the last time we'd seen each other. He looked away and down. I'm sorry about what happened to your kid. But fuck you. Fuck both of you. She deserved better. We all would have been stronger together. Your game guide is a piece of shit, Maggie growled.
I am going to find you, and I am going to watch you die. You and the fucking cat!
No!
The crowd said. Like we were on an episode of the goddamned Jerry Springer show.
Don't bring me into this,
Donut said, raising a paw in defense.
I'm not the one who went all Danger Dingo on my own kid.
The crowd screamed with laughter. I had to hand it to her. Donut was oftentimes caught off guard, but she was highly adaptable. She knew how to read a crowd, that was for sure. But as much as I disliked these two assholes, they weren't the real enemy. We needed to end this. This bullshit didn't serve any of us. I turned to the maestro. Congratulations, you've reunited us. We all know how she feels about the matter. I've said my piece. If that's all, we'll be going now.
No, no, why so quick to leave?
For the next several minutes, the maestro attempted to ask us leading questions. So, why did you kill your own daughter? Carl, how does it feel to know you're partially responsible for the death of another human? Maggie said nothing but fuck you. Frank hadn't said a word this whole time. Donut would only talk directly to the audience, and I just grunted responses. It was obvious that the orc wasn't good at asking interview questions, especially with a group of hostile guests. The crowd grew restless. Donut started making wisecracks. The maestro tried to ask her something, and she just ignored him. She looked directly to the audience and said,
I once watched a cocker spaniel lick her own butthole for 30 minutes straight. That was more insightful than that question.
Eventually, the maestro threw his large hands in the air and gave up. The orc had a panicked look to him. He knew this entire episode had been a dumpster fire from the start. But then the orc's eyes sparkled with one last glimmer of hope. I braced myself for whatever bullshit was coming.
Well, I have parting gifts for each of the teams. Are you piglets excited to see what we got for the crawlers?
The crowd responded half-heartedly. A few of the audience members had already flickered and disappeared from the stream, leaving empty spaces in the crowd.
Hopefully it's a door so we can get back to the dungeon,
Donut muttered. The audience laughed. But she wasn't fooling me. The cat was shaking with pleasure. Even now, Donut couldn't contain herself. That damn cat loved her presence.
Let's give our VIPs their gift first, shall we?
A box appeared in front of me. This was a literal cardboard box. I hesitantly reached forward, and it was really there.
This is just a present for Carl. Sorry about that, Donut,
the maestro said. He leaned forward expectantly. I could feel Donut deflate next to me. I realized I'd been stroking her back without thinking about it.
Carl, I know this is something you want really bad. We paid a lot of money to make sure you have the very best.
I opened the box. You asshole. I had to laugh. It was a perfectly chosen gift to troll me. I probably would have laughed even if we'd been on another show.
Carl, you have boots now,
Donut said. It was a brand new pair of Bates zip-up tactical boots. They were identical to the service boots I wore on active duty. I picked one up. Sure enough, they were in my size.
We even got you socks. They're in the box.
Thanks, I said, pulling the box onto my lap. These will be really comfortable when I'm in a safe room. I put the lid back on. There was no way I was going to wear these things. Now that my soles had fully acclimated, me wearing shoes would put me at a massive disadvantage. I had several buffs and skills that only worked if I was barefoot, and the orc knew it. The gift was just him being a dick. He was expecting me to react, to rant and rave. He should have known by now that wasn't the sort of bait that would snag me. The audience barely reacted at all. They either didn't understand the intended troll or didn't care. I love them, I added. I tapped the bottom of the box, smiling. I hope they weren't too expensive. The maestro took a deep breath and gave me his best fuck you glare. He turned to Frank and Maggie.
And now, you two. Frank has a skill called Find Crawler, which shows you any crawlers within 5 square kilometers.
The maestro waved his hand.
I don't think that is good enough.
A potion appeared in front of them, Maggie snatched it up, looking at it.
That there is a legendary skill potion, taken from my clan's own stock. Either of you drink that fucker down, and it will upgrade your find crawler skill to level 15.
He turned to look at me, smiling again.
That means you can put in any crawler's name, and it'll tell you exactly where they are, no matter how far.
Wait, can I drink this? Frank is the one with the skill,
Maggie asked.
Oh, yeah. That'll take you all the way to the top of level 20 if you have the right class. But if you take it now, it'll take you up to 15, no problem.
I sighed. So, are we done here? The maestro seemed to be at a loss for words, pissed his gifts hadn't gone over well with the audience.
Thanks to my piglets. You know the maestro takes care of you fuckers. You know what to do.
The audience lukewarmly glurp-glurped.
Well, we probably won't be coming back on this show, pork boy, I said, standing up.
Donut jumped to my shoulder and waved vigorously at the audience.
But I imagine we'll see each other again soon enough. I look forward to kicking your ass all over again on the 9th floor. That is, if you're not too much of a puss to face me.
Now, that garnered a reaction from the crowd. As the show ended, and the crowd cheered, finally happy to have something to holler about, I turned my attention to the two crawlers sitting next to us. Frank continued to stare straight down, the shell of a man. Maggie clutched the skill potion to her chest, staring at me. For the first time, the woman smiled. Chapter 44. Time to level collapse, 3 days, 14 hours. Views, 1.7 trillion. Followers, 439.9 billion. Favorites, 42.4 billion.
I don't understand why she killed her daughter,
Donut said after we returned to the safe room. She immediately started opening the loot boxes from the earlier battle. She received nothing new except two trap modules from her gold sapper's box. One was called a spike module and the other an alarm module. These were ready-to-go traps, no tinkering required. We could upgrade and reconfigure them, but it required the use of our sapper's table, which wouldn't happen until the 4th floor. Despite Mukta's warning that we'd have a discussion after the show, there was no sign of the admin. The program ended, and we'd immediately transported back to the room. I still clutched the shoebox in my hands. I sighed and put it all in my inventory. I pulled out my pedicure kit and started to work on my feet as Donut continued to talk, rapid fire. She'd been like this after the last interview, too. She got some sort of adrenaline rush from being on camera, even when the show was a disaster.
She had a pretty name, Yvette. I like that name. Did you see? She didn't want to kill people, but then her mom killed her. It's really sad, but I'm also kind of relieved, you know what I mean? Since her mom killed her, that means you didn't kill her. It would have been an accident, but still.
Aren't you tired?
I asked. I was exhausted. I rubbed the bottom of my foot with the little stone thing. I could just feel the AI watching me. The recap show would air in a few hours, and I wanted to get some sleep before that. Afterward, we needed to head out. Donut plopped herself on my shoulder, settling in to sleep after I finished with my feet.
He was kind of a jerk, huh? The orc guy, I mean. But do you remember what he said? We broke the record.
Yes, Donut. I closed my eyes.
Carl?
What, Donut? I said, trying not to let the exasperation sound in my voice.
I heard what he said to you. About the 9th floor, I mean.
Don't let that idiot bother you.
No, not the orc. I mean Mordecai. When he told you that you should leave me when we get to that floor, I heard him.
Let's worry about getting to the 3rd floor before we even think about something as far away as the 9th. We don't even know what the hell that is all about.
Okay,
she said, her voice small. She finally settled next to me. She was asleep before I was. I slept through the first part of the recap episode. I awakened to find Donut sitting on the chair, her attention on the screen.
She looked back at me.
They haven't mentioned us yet, but they showed those guys from Africa, Le Mouvement. They found a city boss. It was just a see-through blob the size of a house. It killed all of them. There was one guy on the outside of where they were locked in, and now he's all alone. Everyone died except him. They showed him sitting on the ground, just crying for like a minute straight. The blob looked like it was made of jello. They couldn't figure out how to hurt it. I bet fire would have worked. They didn't have much room to run around, though. The boss room was a series of tubes, like a sewer system.
Christ, I said, looking up at the screen. It now showed Lucia Marr smashing a brindled Vespa into pieces with her mace. She had some sort of personal magical shield I'd never noticed before. The hornet spat at her, and the white glob hit the shield, sizzling and floating in the air a good 2 inches from the side of her head. No wonder, I grumbled. The last 10 minutes of the show were dedicated to our escape. The recap was almost identical to the one they'd showed on the Maestro's show, but with added music and better production values. They showed close-up freeze frames of the MOAB and spinning 3D renderings of the individual bombs. It showed the rage elemental tumbling into the hole, and the oh-shit baby exploding right next to it. We watched as the monster's health bar plummeted, almost hit zero, and then the monster dissolved. Experience denied, slammed onto the screen.
Hey, that wasn't fair,
Donut cried.
We would have killed it if it hadn't dissolved.
Maybe, I said. I was suspicious about how easy it was to do damage to the elemental, considering its high level. Either my bombs were overpowered, or the monster was especially weak for its level. I suspected there was something else we were missing. The monster probably split in two or blew up on death or something equally horrible. It was almost as if the game was daring us to summon another one and try to kill it fair and square this time. We'd probably rocket up a dozen levels if we managed it. I could already think of a dozen ways to summon one and have something waiting for it. Something that'd kill it for sure. Once you knew how the monster worked, it wasn't so difficult. It had to be a trap. The show ended with Imani pausing at the scorched entrance to the third floor. She looked up into the air and raised a middle finger before going inside. The show ended, and I suddenly felt very alone. The feeling came out of nowhere. I thought of that last member of Le Mouvement, of being locked outside the boss area, only to find everyone he knew was just gone. What a nightmare. I looked up at the ticker. 990,303. We'd gone below 1,000,000, and I hadn't noticed. For every person that ticked away, I felt I was losing a part of myself, a part of my humanity. I thought of what Donut had said before we'd fallen asleep, and of the unspoken question she had asked and of the answer I hadn't given her. The announcement came, and even though I knew it was coming, a sudden, booming voice surprised me.
Hello, crawlers. Keep up the good work. Everything is running smoothly. Now that we've reached the halfway point of the level, game guides are now able to instruct you upon some of the intricacies regarding the third floor and how the race and class selection process works. Be sure to visit your game guide prior to descending in order to make the transition more smooth. Effective immediately, any non-sapient mobs who happen upon a stairwell will not be disintegrated. Yes, we all just watched that rule get exploited on the recap episode. It was very clever and very exciting. But it's not going to happen again. The system AI has determined the proliferation of the brindled Vespas is too aggressive, and we have halved the number of these mobs currently in the dungeon. In addition, the damage from their spitting acid attack has been adjusted down. Slightly. Please note, new brindle grubs will continue to generate upon the creation of a corpse, but each one now only has a 50% chance to proceed to the pupa stage. That's it for now. Now go out there and kill, kill, kill.
The moment the announcement ended, a message popped up.
Admin notice. A new tab is available in your interface.
I blinked. That was unexpected. I opened up my interface, and indeed, there was a new section. Accounts. I clicked on it. There was only one item.
Creator's fee. Carl's Jugaboom. Royalty, 1 gold coin per kill. Current kills, 4.
There was a button. Cash out now. Below that was a very small line that I could barely read. There was no way to zoom in. I had to squint to read it. Count updates once daily. 2 gold coins plus 25% deposit fee. Rounded up. Deducted upon cash out. Funds not deposited are subject to forfeiture upon death.
25%?
I said.
Highway robbery!
If I cashed out now, I'd only receive a single gold coin. If I'd had 5 coins, I'd still only receive 1 coin because they rounded the fee up.
What?
Donut asked. I waved my hand. It's nothing. I'll explain later. Let's get going.
Are we running? Is that what we're doing? Hiding from Frank Q and Maggie Mai?
No. That was my first instinct. But now that I've slept on it, I've changed my mind. That woman is hell-bent on hunting us down, and we're going to have to deal with it sooner rather than later. I don't know if they're coming now or not. I'd much rather be ready for her than have her sneak up behind us.
But how can we do that? They can track us and go invisible, and we can't do either of those.
Her invisibility is not nearly as powerful as I first thought. We'll need to take out the local neighborhood boss and get that map. It'll make our lives much easier.
Warning. You may not wield your weapons while in the presence of admins. Any attempted violence against an admin will result in your immediate execution.
Shit, I said, looking up at the ceiling. Mukta is coming. Pop! Water splashed over my feet, and a familiar, armored Kuatine appeared. My interface snapped off.
Ziv!
Donut cried.
Where were you? I was worried.
Hello, Carl. Hello, Princess Donut. I'm here for your show debriefing.
Are you okay?
Donut asked.
Yes, thank you.
Zev said.
I was censured by the system AI. I was given a suspension because the system determined that I had cheated by warning you of the rage elemental before it appeared. My representative appealed the decision on my behalf, and upon further review, it was determined that you'd noticed the man urinating simultaneously with my exclamation, so the censure was removed from my record.
She sighed, filling her mask with bubbles.
But even though my record is technically clean, it's not really. Once the AI notices you, it's difficult to get it to unnotice you, so I have to be extra careful from now on.
Are we in trouble?
Donut asked.
That orc guy was really mean to Carl.
No,
Zev said.
It was improper for you to attempt to disengage from the interview, but the Borant Corporation wishes to commend you for showing proper respect to the organization. They're actually quite pleased with you right now.
Commend us? Really? Proper respect? The thought of giving respect to anything Borant did made me sick. Anyone who mistook fear for respect was a fool.
The politics regarding all of this is too complicated to even begin to explain. However, that particular production, while technically private, is owned and operated by a prince of a faction that is allied with another faction that is at odds with the Borant system. All of it would make your head spin if I were to explain it to you.
If you don't like those guys, then why did you let them interview us? That show is awful, Zev. It's almost as cruel as the game itself, I almost said. It's abusive. She nodded.
And I would like to apologize. Mukta should never have booked it. The show I had scheduled also caters to the younger crowd, but it would be a discussion regarding specific tactics you use in the dungeon. They do it in a creative, silly way. But to answer your question, Borant is not allowed to discriminate against syndicate member production companies, especially when said companies are tied to production sponsors. This is monitored very closely by the AI. Anything to do with money is watched carefully, especially this season.
So, that maestro asshole is a prince? No wonder he's such a cheese dick. I didn't realize he was royalty. I assumed the show didn't have very much money.
He is a prince, but that production is owned by his older brother, Crown Prince Stalwart. I think their father gives them a small stipend to make the show, probably to keep them busy.
I thought of that voice that had threatened us when we'd attempted to bail. If that was him, he seems just as much of a douche as his younger brother. Prince Stalwart? That name is almost as bad as the Maestro.
They're orcs. Everything they do is mawkish.
I had no idea what the word mawkish meant, but I assumed it translated to cheesy. So these guys are different from the Tusklings? I know they are obviously a different race, but I thought the Tusklings were the rulers of all the orcs.
The Tusklings are the rulers of the orcish supremacy. Stalwart and the Maestro are princes of the Skull Empire. That's a whole different system. If the orcish supremacy is a child with a lemonade stand, the Skull Empire is the Walmart Corporation. It's one of the largest and oldest syndicate governments.
Yeah, he'd said something about creating the crawl. I glanced down at Donut. He also talked a bit about the ninth floor, how he's going to be there.
Sorry, I can't really discuss that yet. Mordecai is now authorized to tell you about the third floor, but that's it.
Is there anything you can tell us? I asked. She looked pained.
What I can say is that every three floors are the same setting. Sort of. The third, sixth, ninth, and so forth are all linked in a way that will later become clear.
I thought about what Mordecai had whispered to me earlier, that Borant was trying to end the game as soon as possible. What if all the crawlers die before the ninth floor even starts?
That probably isn't going to happen. It's starting to look like we'll get there much faster than usual, but we've never had a full player extinction before the ninth floor. It happens on the ninth floor a lot, but not before it. Again, I can't tell you much, but those floors, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, and 18, all come into existence at the same time. You can only visit them in context with the rest of the crawl, but that doesn't mean they're not being utilized. Whatever happens on the ninth and twelfth floors happens with or without the crawlers. It's a game within the game where you are not the main focus. At least, not until you get there. Sorry, that's all I can say.
Okay. I was just wondering. I'm not going to worry about it until we get there, I guess.
That's the spirit! Now we need to talk about the next couple of days. I was just brainstorming with my team, and we agree that you two need to concentrate on building up your character. You're already in a good position, but a couple extra levels would really help you out. Now that the Meadowlark storyline is completed, we can wait a day or two before really focusing on the next story arc.
Story arc? Really?
How is this thing with Maggie and Frank going over?
Donut asked. Zev waved dismissively.
It has potential, but it's already tired. Those two have a good amount of followers, especially after last night, but not many people think they're going to survive long enough for that Maggie lady to make good on her threat. She's not very charismatic, and she's acting more and more irrationally. This gripe you have with Prince Maestro is getting much more attention, especially with that pork boy snick that just showed up. 2 hours old, and it's already trending all over the social media tunnels. But, like we've already discussed, that whole story won't bear fruit until much later. We feel you can get away with coasting for a few days until you hit the next floor down, but once you do hit the Overcity, you really need to focus on something compelling. Just train, and try not to be too boring. Maybe take out a boss or two. And don't pick anything weird during race selection.
Back up. What the hell is a pork boy, Snick? She chuckled nervously.
Yeah, I need to tell you about this. So, you have... had... a similar phenomenon on Earth. Are you familiar with the concept of fan fiction?
Wait, what's that?
Donut asked. Zev whirled on Donut.
Oh my gods, Donut. You would love it. There is this whole website, and it was filled with stories about Gossip Girl, but it was written by people like you and me. Actual fans, not the writers. So the stories aren't real, or canon, they called it. But some were great. I tried writing one once, but it didn't get many views.
That sounds like the greatest thing in the world,
Donut said.
You can make it so the show never ends. Wait, people are writing stories about us? Me and Carl?
Yeah, so a snick is kind of like a fan fiction, but it's a video. So it's like a fan fiction movie. You can experience the scene from any of the characters' point of view, or you can just watch it. This particular video is short and a little... what is the word? Explicit.
What was in the video? What do you mean by explicit? Was I in it?
No, just Carl. Carl and the Maestro. And let's just say Carl has the upper hand during the scene.
I said. I tried to think of something to say, but I couldn't think of anything. Who made it?
So, that's the interesting part. It's a bit of a mystery. It showed up just a few hours after your interview. Nobody knows where it came from, but it went very viral, very fast. The quality is flawless. In fact, it came out so fast, some people think it's real. It's not. Right?
Are you asking me if I fucked the orc?
Wait, it's a sex tape? With Carl and the maestro?
Donut said.
She practically fell off her chair, laughing.
Oh, my goodness! And I thought it was going to be a bog witch that finally stole his heart.
It is a little funny,
Zev said.
But the Skull Empire probably isn't going to find it amusing. They haven't reacted yet, at least not officially. They're not known for their measured responses to insults.
Is it an insult, though? I'm not gay, but does it matter? The Tusklings seem to be very open with, you know, weird stuff. Do people really care?
It's not that. You're right, most wouldn't care. But this is a prince of the Skull Empire, and that video is both graphic and humiliating. You two say things to each other.
Can we watch it? I want to watch it!
That sort of thing has to happen all the time. That prince is such a cockwomble, I can't imagine the intergalactic internet isn't filled with stuff like that.
Oh, it is. This is different. The quality is so good, and it is just everywhere right now. Everyone is calling the prince Pork Boy and, Carl's naughty little piggy. You have to watch the video. Anyway, if the Skull Empire demands people stop calling him that, it's going to be just like the Mudskipper thing all over again. In the past hour, your appearance fee has doubled. You're now equal with Lucia Marr. The fact this has happened at the expense of the Skull Empire has made the party very happy with you.
Oh, shit, I said. Any sense of amusement fleeing. The last thing we need is some giant sponsor gunning for us. Any interview we do, they're just going to ask me about it. And I can tell you right now, there's nothing I'm willing to say to make those assholes hate me less.
There's no such thing as bad publicity,
Zev said.
Borant's official stance on this is that as long as you do not disparage the company, the party, or the syndicate itself, any opinion you air about other governments will not be met with any sort of punitive action. Besides, there's not much the other governments can do to you. Not until the sixth floor. Or if they spring for a deity sponsorship this season. But anyway, don't worry about anything happening outside your floor. That's my job. Now I gotta get going. Your next scheduled appearance is on Odette's show. In the meantime, I'll be available on chat. Bye to both of you.
A moment later, she popped away, splashing water all over the floor.
I'm glad she's okay. I feel bad we got her in trouble.
I